Great to see you. Y'all feeling well? Amen. I think it's every Saturday night in Fort Wayne it snows, you know, and then we just have just enough on Sunday. I woke up today and I thought, my God, again, it is here, you know what I mean? And so, and then it's supposed to be in the 60s the next few days. So I don't know. It's welcome to Indiana, right, everybody? But, man, we've had, how many of y'all been enjoying this series? Been enjoying it? Good. I know Bethany and I both have had just an amazing time in this together, and always love when we have the opportunity just to teach together. And so today is a real unique day for us because we're not alone, as you can tell. Look, all these good-looking faces up here. My goodness. And so we're so blessed to have these amazing couples with us here today that whom Beth and I just love and cherish and thank God for. And I'm telling you what, man, I think we're going to have an amazing day here together. I want to just start off with a couple verses of Scripture. And if you've missed any of this series, I really want to encourage you to make sure that you go on the app or go online and check out the last couple weeks' messages because it'll help you. And we've been trying to do a good job, Bethany and I both, of just really talking to marriages and encouraging singles as well in this journey. And so I pray that this has been helpful and has maybe enlightened and given you some wisdom and insight. And honestly, more importantly, just to see how God views a lot of different things. I just want to throw just, again, one last small disclaimer out there. If you have kids that are 12 and under. If they're 12 and under, we have great kids ministry. It could be a little spicy here today. The couples are ready to help if need be on certain topics. And so just want you to know that, again, it's completely appropriate for those 13 and over. But again, 12 and under, we have our incredible kids ministry that are doing an amazing job. And can we just give a hand for all of our kids ministry, man? Pastor Heidi and all the team, amen? Love those guys. And every week, man, there's ministry happening for your kids and kids getting saved and kids that are going through some stuff. It's a hard day to be a kid, and so we want to do a great job as a church pastoring them. Mark chapter 10, verse 9, this has been our theme verse for this series. It says, therefore, actually, I'd love if you'd read this with me, just with some real strength. You ready, everybody? Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. The whole passion and just really the design of this series is that we help build marriages that are going to last forever, that this is forever in the commitments that we make to God and to each other. Amen? That it's not just until we hit a bump in the road, but man, that we are committed to making marriages last forever. And in the good, come on, then there's good, but then there's bad. And those bad times are going to happen. And so what do? Well, we're going to stay engaged and we're going to continue to have the tough conversations that we need, or we're going to continue to get the help that we need that you're going to hear so much about. And then John 6:35, love it. Jesus declared, I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And just as a reminder that no human can meet your deepest needs, that only Jesus can meet your deepest need. Can you say a good amen, church? Amen. So just remembering that Jesus is and has to be for your everything. Man, if you're going to have strong relationships, if you're going to have a strong marriage, it's because you have a strong relationship with Jesus. And I've just found, man, there's disconnection in my relationship with Bethany or even friends when I feel disconnected here. So it can be a connection issue. So we've got to stay connected with God. So week one, we just talked about how we is better than me. We is always better than me. We talked about the principles of priority, the principle of pursuit, possession, and purity. And then week two last week, we talked about how each of us, we're not wrong, we're just different. And you and I communicate different. We respond differently. So it's important that we understand that even though sometimes we feel like the other's wrong, you know, that we're just different and we have to learn how to understand the role. So today, again, so blessed to have these guys up here with Bethany and I today. And I'll just kind of tell you how this is going to flow. I want to thank you guys, though, first, because you sent some amazing questions. Like, I was blown away by the quality of questions, and there was a ton of them. We had way more this year than we did last year. So I'm going to shut up, all right, and do the best I can for these guys to help me, and so we can get into a lot of the questions that you have And our production team is prepared to go as we go. So we're going to try to get as many as we can answer with the time that we're allotted here today. But I just want to open up with these guys. And I just wanted them just to take a second, just to for each couple, just one of them is going to share just briefly their story. First of all, who they are, their names, their story, how they met, and just how long they've also been married as well. So we'll start at the end.
All right. Well, I'm Mike Nichols, as most of you know, and this is my wife, Sherry. We've been married for 21 years. However, I was married for 23 years before I met Sherry. And Sherry was married twice before she met me, once for 13 years and once for 10 years. She brought two kids into the marriage, two girls, and I had four boys. So we had all the issues of blended families. We had exes, we had step blending, we had hostility, blaming, all those kinds of things. Amen? But I want to tell you that today, all six of our kids hunger and thirst after God.
Amen.
Three of them are full-time in the ministry. Two work for very large Christian companies, and one has a very significant business with 20-some employees that he has on his own. Plus, we have five spouses now and 10 grandkids. And this is important. They all do life together, all of them, and they love each other.
Amen.
And they love Sherry, and they like me. But we've made a lot of mistakes. I mean, you know, it's a sordid tale in some ways. But we kept running towards God, kept believing him, kept seeking him. And because of that, his grace and mercy, he's made it all come together. It's not us, I can tell you that. It's him all the way.
Amen.
And so no matter where you're at, no matter what you're going through, no matter what your situation is, there's hope in him.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
My name's Rich Lee, and this is my beautiful wife, Nanette. I was 21. She was 19. My pastor told me twice to ask her out. And it was a church youth group Halloween party. So I went as Frankenstein, and she went as innocent little Red Robin Hood. Red Riding Hood. And
well, you were
Red
close,
Riding
Pastor
Hood.
Rich.
Yeah, thanks. We've been married for 42 years.
Yeah.
And God has blessed me with her.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
My name is Cassandra Johnson, and this is my husband, Buddy Johnson, but Bertrand is his formal name. And we have been married for 30 years. And we have four wonderful children. They range from the age 33 all the way to 21. And the 21-year-old, you guys know because he's in the ministry here. We met at Ball State University. He was in a fraternity and I was in a sorority. And God didn't have nothing to do with it. I was like, that's mine. What do I have to do? However, God did get in the midst of it, and we have no grandkids yet, so we're believing for some grandkids because my daughter is planning on getting married next year.
Amen. Yeah.
My name's Andy, and I'm realizing now, Kyle, that we have not been alive as long as these three couples have been married. I don't know if we deserve to be up here. Well, my name's Andy. We've been married 4 years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Her name is... I did not forget her name. This is my wife, Heather. We have a one-year-old back there in the nursery. His name is Jack. So we're just starting growing our family and learning all of those great things. We met just as we were ending college. We met at a friend's wedding, mutual friends. I decided to go up and ask her to dance. I'm so glad it was the last time I had to do that because that was very, very frightening. She did say yes, of course. And so since then, we've been married 4 years, and it's been a lot of fun.
Awesome, awesome. All right, so we're going to get right into our questions here. And this one question that came in, I think it was a great opening question for us. And the question was this: what was one of the biggest assumptions that you made about marriage before being married? I'll just start back in the end with you, Mike and Sherry.
Okay, so as Mike already told my history, we won't go through that again. I'm sure you got it down. But I think this is a significant thing to share with all of you, that one of the assumptions, and really a critical assumption throughout my life, that the Lord is thankfully redeemed inside of me, but it was that my very first marriage, I truly felt like he had a lot of problems and I could fix them. And that's a fatal assumption.
Sure, sure.
Because only Jesus transforms our hearts.
That's good.
And so I am a slow learner, as you've already heard, but I will tell you, once I get the lesson, I've really got it.
That's awesome. That's good.
And since I do have the mic, I would also like to tell you, I promise I won't take the whole time up, I promise. I just want to say that I do often say at the right moment when I feel like the Holy Spirit prompts me that Mike is not my first, but he is my last.
Amen. That's great. Amen. That's good. That's good.
I agreed to say a few words up here. As Rich said, I was a very young bride when we got married. And up until that point, my dad was my standard. I assumed that Rich would be like my dad. And I assumed our marriage would kind of mirror my parents' marriage. But boy, was I wrong. He whisked me off to Alaska after 1.5 years of marriage. I learned very quickly that God had a story, a very unique story for the two of us. And he has a unique story for each of you that are in marriage.
Amen.
And the ones that of you that are single, if you desire to be married someday, he has a very wonderful treasure in store for you.
So
we're continuing on our journey. Our love story, it's never ending and always evolving and changing. But God is our center and our source, and we love him so much, and we thank him for our treasure.
Amen. It's good. Good.
First thing I would like to say is we're not experts. We're students. We're students of marriage, and we're continuing to learn. And you're always going to be learning as long as you're married. It's never going to stop. The biggest assumption that we had, or I had, was that it was going to be easy and that we were alike, and I couldn't have been more incorrect and wrong. You do not eat your spouse's leftovers when you bring a nice steak home from the restaurant. It's just
That's
not
wisdom.
Done.
That's good.
It was my steak.
And after a long, hard day of working on your feet, and your wife has a nice bubble bath run for herself, you do not take your shoes off and put your feet in them. Just not done. And part of that is because of the fact that I was raised differently and she was raised differently.
It had a lot of essential oils in it.
I will say this, my feet were never more supple and soft than the next 2 days. I have some nice, smooth feet. But bottom line is, we're different. We think different, not just from the fact that we're physically different, but we come from different backgrounds.
Yeah.
And that was the assumption that I made incorrectly, and we had to grow together and learn.
That's good. Good, good, good.
Yeah, I think mine's really similar. I think I assumed that I knew everything about this guy, but he's like an onion. He has layers. And, you know, we went through premarital counseling. We dated for a few years. We met each other's family. We had hard conversations. But especially I think being parents and just being in like the day in, day out grind of life, your character really rises to the surface, and so does your spouse's, and you just really realize a lot of things about yourself and about your spouse that you didn't know before. And I thought I was pretty awesome before we got married, and now I realize that I'm actually pretty broken and pretty screwed up. And he has grace for me, and I think that we just kind of see the good, bad, and ugly about each other, and I think that each year we get into our marriage, we learn a lot more. So,
great. That's good. All right, guys. Here's a question, and whoever wants to just start off with responding to this. Great question that came in. About just being single, said, I'm single and desire to be married and have a family, but I still haven't met the person that I want to marry, and it feels like it may never happen. What encouragement do you have?
I want to jump in on that one, even though I haven't played the field for the longest. I've got a plaque above my desk, and it's from Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And he'll guide you. Mm-hmm. If I were playing the field, I'd focus on my relationship with the Lord first.
Yeah.
Because to be what God wants me to be in character and in conduct, I'd give myself to any avenue of fellowship and service that I could for its own sake, and also to broaden spheres of influence and contact. And it's interesting, I Googled today, this morning, about Christian marriage sites, and there was about 10 or 12 of them, so I'd probably try that too, but knowing that God has his hand on my life, and he would have his hand on the person that he would have for me.
Yeah.
Amen. I remember Nanette years ago praying for our kids' spouses, even when they were little, and so I just say,
that's good. Good pastor.
Be the person God wants you to be, and he'll open up the door.
Yeah. Anybody else want to respond?
To piggyback on that, if God can cause Sarah to have a child at the age of 99, then he can do anything. Yeah. And it's a matter of faith, and like Pastor Rich said, staying connected with God, you'll have what you say and have what you want, and you'll be happy in it.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's good. All right. Here's another question. I thought this was excellent. And it just says, how do I do that intentional dating thing? We talked about that last week. And how do I do that intentional dating thing as a teenager? I thought that was great. Great question.
So I have some strong feelings about this. I wasn't a teenager that long ago. And if I could look back and tell myself as a teenager how to date, I would say don't. But I know that if you're a teenager in this room, like, that's the last answer you want to hear, and that's not really a fair answer. But I think there's a lot of things I would do differently, and I think as I look back to, like, mistakes I made or times that I was in a relationship that I wasn't proud of, I would just say, like, if you have that gut check when you're dating somebody that you're hiding things or you're sneaking around or you're not proud to have that person meet your family or meet your friends, there's a problem. When I look back to unhealthy relationships, those things were a sign that I was not in the right relationship and I wasn't dating in a way that was really intentional and really healthy. So I think that would be a big gut check for me.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'd like to say also, you might not want to hear this if you're a teenager, but talk to your mom and dad.
Yeah.
They have walked through many seasons that you've never walked through. They are in your life for a reason. They have wisdom, understanding. If you don't have mom and dad that maybe know the Lord, talk to your student leaders at student group. Talk to an adult like Heather and Andy here, somebody on this panel, somebody that you know and trust, and ask them the questions. What do you think about this person? And then you got to listen, and you got to be open and honest. Hopefully you can be with your mom and dad. That's the best person that you can talk to, but be open and honest with them. Talk to them about things, because they have a lot more wisdom than you think they do.
Yeah, and I just think, too, I just want to add this in there, that I think one of the things when I was younger, too, and I was a teenager, was including parents, but, man, my youth pastor was, like, my best friend in the world. And even still to this day, Pastor Matt Rice is a man that, he pastors his own church in the Columbus, Ohio area, a man that I still talk to today and I still glean from today. But when I was in relationships and I was thinking about dating or going through that process, he was who I went through. And we're really blessed to have incredible youth pastors with Amen. Kyle and Anna Sadler. And I just would say, man, even parents, you know, to encourage your kids to go to them. And I know Kyle and Anna would be the first to say, come on, you know. And so I just involve, if you're a teenager, to protect you, all right, because that's part of your parents' responsibility. And it's part of your youth pastor's responsibility. Ours, we want to help protect you, and we want to help shepherd you. And so I would just say, man, just what Bethany said, and really back to Heather, just that honesty is going to be crucial for you. And so stay honest, all right? Another question, it says this, that I'm single by choice. This is good. Do I really need to explain myself to others? I don't feel that you have to be in a relationship to be happy. Friendship is all I want without benefits. All right. Come on, somebody. I don't know who that was, but I love it. Love it. Yeah, come on. Who wants that?
Well, I'll chime in again here. I remember when I graduated college, I hadn't met Andy yet, and all of my friends were getting married. I lived with four girls my senior year. All of them were engaged and getting married the summer after graduation. And I remember feeling like, if somebody made me pick a man and buy a house, I would feel like I was going to prison. That's what I told my mom. And my heart just wasn't there. I had no desire to be married. And then a few years later, like, this guy came along, and it was the worst.
He said it was like 2 months.
I forget the timeline. He's better at the numbers. But a few months later, let's go with that. This guy came along, and my desires changed. And so I was really happy being single. I had a great job. I was traveling. I was doing mission work. And that was what I was passionate about. And so I would just say, if you're happy right now, like, keep being happy. Live your single life. But then also, like, be open to the fact that the right person could come along.
Yeah, that's good. Anybody else? That's good. Good, buddy.
There's two people involved in a relationship when you're friends. And we're talking, I'm assuming, a man and a woman. As far as this question, and you have to look at the context of what your friend may expect. You may expect to be a friend without benefits, like it says on here, but what's the other person expecting? And so you have to look at those intentions too. And from a man's standpoint, because I've been there, if I'm friends with a female and I'm looking at her, I'm like, okay, I'm just thinking, that's going to be hard, and you're going to leave yourself open for some pitfalls. So you can have friends, but you have to understand that there's going to be drastic limitations on your friendship with another female versus your friendship with another male.
I'll say something on this, too. A lot of times when you're approaching friendship or dating, you're not thinking about what God has. Amen. It's like Andy Stanley says, you got sin packed underneath the seat. And you're not putting on worship music, you know, you're putting on because you're interested in something for yourself, for your flesh. And it's hard and it's not natural, but the more you can seek God, the more he will direct you to whether it's a legit friendship, whether it's a legit opportunity to date. But he's the one with the wisdom and the understanding. And so you just have to continually go back to seeking him.
And it really goes back to what we talked about last week even. You don't have to be in a relationship. It is 100% fine to be single, and you don't have to explain yourself to anybody. If somebody doesn't understand that, then you just don't have that conversation with them. It's not anybody else's business. That's between you and the Lord. So if you are happy single, then be single. It is wonderful to be single. Amen. It's just as much as a gift of being single as it is being married. They're not, one is not greater than the other. They're just different.
I really don't want to say anything else because that was excellent. I would just say there's a confidence about this person already, like a little swag about you. Man, stay confident. I'm serious, man. Like when this question came in and I read this week, I thought, okay. I just appreciate it, but I thought it was worth us sharing and talking about today. Excellent, excellent, excellent. All right. Next question is this, that my husband and I have kids from previous marriages. It's tough being a mom and stepmom as it is for him being a dad and stepdad. How do we continue to lead our stepkids well as our own biological kids? Boy, this is good. Good question.
I'll step up with that.
Go ahead.
Question. Since we have six blended. So I really sought God from the moment Mike and I got married. We married April 10th. On May the 3rd, I made a wonderful decision that day to, because I had already received salvation, but I made a decision from that day forward, I was going to go with everything God said and wanted for me. And I wanted everything that Jesus had died to give me. And so I made a lot of changes at that time, and I studied the Bible as it pertained to this unusual situation we found ourselves in. And I felt like I needed to honor Mike as the dad of those boys. And so I made a decision to not speak ill of him, regardless of whether I agreed with things or didn't agree with things, because I had girls and he had boys, and I don't know if you guys have noticed, but they're different. And so, because my girls came from all girls and the boys came from all boys, you can just only imagine they were all teenagers. And so you can only imagine the issues that came up. And so time and time again, I had to make a choice to honor their dad and not, you know, go against him for what he might be saying to the boys. And he did the same with me for the girls. The other thing I did, and I highly recommend this, and if you want to talk to me in private, you can come talk to me and I'll listen, but I feel very strong about this, is we made a decision not to talk about the exes. And so, because listen, those boys have a mom, and I need to honor her.
Well, that's good. That's good.
And so it wasn't easy, and it still isn't. I mean, it's 21 years down the road, and life is different, and they're grown, and blah, 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 blah. But I'm just saying that never goes away. Those children are connected to us through eternity. And so I still have to make that choice today. So I was the boys' friend as much as I could be, but I was an adult.
I mean,
you've seen Corey, and y'all know what high energy he is, and he has a twin. And I mean, you know, I'm short, and they're tall, and sometimes, you know, I had to get creative and use, you know, get out of the box. Lord, you're going to have to help me with this one. I don't know what I'm doing. So pray a lot, seek him, and, you know, discipline is good. Kids need discipline, and training is good, and parents, that's our job. It is not easy, but it is our job. And if you want to do what God wants you to do, you're going to have to step into that role and ask him to help you, because I can tell you for an absolute fact, we cannot do it in our own strength.
Go ahead. Yeah.
I also have to say something. I know if you were doing the math, you would have seen that we have a son. I think he is 34, and we will be married July 30th. So we also are a blended family. As I was talking to some ladies today outside in the foyer, a lot of people do not know that, because our family, we feel that we have navigated that successfully. But we are still, just as Mike and Sherry said too, we are still also always blending the family. And what we did is we made sure that Buddy and I was okay with God all the time. We put God first and made sure that we were the nucleus that was going to be strong, the foundation of the blended family. We also, just like Sherry said, made sure that we did no negativity. Our house was the safe zone for when our son would come to our house. No, he didn't have the same home or the same upbringing at the other house, but that's not for us. Yeah. We made sure that the atmosphere was going to be set for him at our house, and that God was going to be in it. And when he went to the next home, we prayed for him when he went to the next home, that he would still have the atmosphere, the love, and the joy that we had given him and taken there. So we made sure that we didn't worry about that, because we thought the light that we had would be stronger than any negativity that he receives somewhere else. And the next thing I would say is, all like Sherry said, make sure you get with a couple that's going through the blended thing. It's not uncommon, like everybody said. Sometimes it seems like blended families are outnumbering the families that we call traditional. So find you someone that's successfully navigating this process, because it's not an easy thing at all. Talking about child support, that sometimes is a taboo thing, but it can be done in a loving way. Yeah. Talking about visitation, find somebody that's going through that and see how they've done it successfully. Talk about things like discipline. Buddy and I decided to I be the person that sowed the love seeds. He would be the one to do the discipline because. Until I establish more of a deep relationship with that child. Because I think that's something that we do when you first get married. We automatically say, well, you can discipline too. You still have to establish trust.
Yeah.
And then the trust between the spouse that he knew that I loved him the same way. I didn't treat him any differently, but however you treat all children differently because of their personality, but I want to give him the same love that I've given any other children that we have.
That's good. I want to say this that because I want to move on to the next question, but I think you both really hit something that's really important, and I want to also say in this way that because I think the honor in which you talk about and not mentioning even how you alluded to that, Sherry, and not bringing the exes up sort of thing, it can be very damaging. It can be a lot of disrespect and dishonor, not only to the kids, but even to your spouse. And because what's that say for them? And so here's the other thing I was thinking about as you guys were talking, and that is even after you've been divorced. And I can remember from my brother and I that, we kind of, in some ways, helped our mom and dad. But I feel like our mom and dad did pretty good with this. And even after they divorced, not bad-mouthing the other in front of us. And I think they really worked hard. Now, I would say Austin and I probably check them a couple times. And it happens because our parents are human too. But I would say all in all that my mom and dad tried to do an excellent job of just that. And I would just encourage you to be real careful with that. And especially in front of your kids, to really protect your kids. Because that's still, they're never, guess what? It's still mom. It's still dad. And they're never going to graduate from mom and dad. Amen, everybody? I think it's so important. Here's another question. How do I move on from the regret of my divorce? Things I should have done different but didn't. I wish, man, this is a tough one. I wish we were still together.
All right. Well, I remember every football I dropped. I remember every touchdown I didn't score, every time I fumbled, and I wish it weren't true. And, you know, some people, they peaked in high school. You know, all they talk about is their sports career. And you have to put it behind you. I believe this about divorce. God does not like divorce. However, he's much more interested, in my view, in that you love him and know him and find and fulfill your destiny. I think he's very interested in the four cups. Mm-hmm. He's very interested in the four cups. And that's where you need to be going. What do you always say, the past? These things I do, I don't look back, I look forward.
I'm like Paul. Find yourself a scripture that you can say to yourself again and again and again when those thoughts rise up in your mind, because everybody has regret, but we should not ever hold on to that. That isn't how Jesus wants us to live. Paul said the one thing I do is forget the past.
Yeah.
So that means I can too. I can do it with his help. And if I have to say that a million times in an hour, so be it. But I push forward to what God has for me. And you can get to the point where, thank the Lord, today I don't have regret. I'm rejoicing in every event in my life has brought me closer to the Lord and has left more self-righteousness behind. And there's more to go. I have a long way to go. He's not done with me, but I'm very grateful for everything that God has done in my life.
Amen. That's good. Another question here is, this is a good one. This is a good one, and this is one I've gotten quite a bit just in ministry. And it's, my husband isn't saved. How do I approach my disagreements, intimacy issues with him, knowing he doesn't see things how God sees them, but how do I reach him? So obviously, this person's husband's not saved. There lies a big focus for this wife.
1 Peter 3, verse 1, talks about a loving wife, chaste behavior, and her behavior and her relationship with God winning her husband over. So you can only do so much. I wasn't saved when we first got married. I didn't even know what it was. And the pastor that did our premarital counseling said, well, you guys are unequally yoked. I'm not going to counsel you unless you're saved. I'm like, okay, I want to marry me some Cassandra, so I'll get saved. What do I have to say? So I went into the relationship wrong, and I did things wrong, and I wasn't saved. I didn't know God, and that caused problems in our relationship at the beginning. But her relationship with God, her praying, her behavior, her servanthood toward the Lord corrected me and won me over. And that's where you start. That's not all of the answers for your question, but that's where you should start. And and that will move you in the right direction.
Yeah. I want to address it just from a little different angle. With the boys, they had a lot of hostility in the beginning toward Sherry. But Sherry gave them unconditional love, far more than I would ever do. And she loved them and kept loving them and kept forgiving them and never attacking them. And we have a saying in our house that you have to do 10 times the love to earn the right to do one discipline. But I think with steps, it might be 20 times. And you know, I think that applies to dating as well. With a husband that doesn't love God, you just have to seek God because He is the one who changes hearts.
Yeah.
Read Ephesians chapter 5.
Yeah.
That'll help also.
Yeah. Cassandra, you said something when we talked about this question. I'm trying to remember what you said. We talked about this question about just continue to be it, show it. You remember that you had said that to me? I just thought that was worth sharing, because when we talked about this question, what you said to me, if you can remember it, was excellent. I'm putting you on the spot. I know.
All I do remember it, because it's what Buddy did say, 1 Peter 3:1. It's like one of my favorite scriptures, because I know without a doubt that it does work, is that you win your husband with your conversation, with your passion, with your love, with your lifestyle. So like he said, he was not saved. And again, like I said, it wasn't God in the beginning, but God, I have a man of God that I prayed for and I believe God for. So I set my atmosphere in my home. I believed in that. So if he was to give me negativity, I'm not going to give that back to him. Yeah, I'm going to give him positivity. Just like Mike said, the same way with children, is we're not to react. And what I always say, and I say in the group too, I'm not going to love him the way I see him. I'm going to love him with the love of Jesus' eyes. Yeah, I'm going to love where God says he is, not where he is right now. And I know that is not easy, but it is, like I said, worth it. It's going to be the victory in the end. It's going to be the success in the end.
Yeah.
So you see him as God sees him.
That's good. Pastor Richard, today I'm going to have you help me with this next question. And it's the question of, my spouse has horrible breath. How do I have that conversation? How do I have that conversation?
Actually, I was going to talk about that one, Pastor.
Oh, wow. Didn't plan that. I promise
Thanks,
you.
Thanks, buddy.
This is real. Absolutely. Help us, Pastor Rich.
No, we, of course, I interact with people a lot face-to-face here at church and on the prayer team and, you know, close quarters. I always make sure I have a pocket of mints a pocket full of mints.
Yeah.
And having said that, I buy the large green bag of Lifesaver Wintergreen.
Yeah.
Like 300 count.
Yeah,
300. We had a little jar in the dining room. So if I know I'm going to be making out or something.
Come on.
I'll not only brush my teeth really well, but I'll grab a mint or two.
Come on.
And I get to bed, and Nanette says.
That's my signal, is when I see.
Oh, it's getting spicy here at Elevate City.
Woo. She says, no fair, you have a mint.
Oh, that's awesome. All right, we got to keep moving. I think So the moral of the story is grab a wintergreen, and just politely maybe just slip them. We don't have to make a scene, right? Just kind of baby. Hey, baby, you just kind of, yeah. Yeah, it's cool. All right. Here's another question. With such hectic lives, busy lives, and emotions taking a toll on us throughout our busy days, how can we reverse our emotions back into bringing intimacy back more often? Good question.
Pastor Kyle, yeah. I remember you gave a sermon, I think it was like 2 years ago, during the same marriage series, and you talked about wanting your home to be a place of peace, that mm-hmm. when you came home, that's like your safe place, and Buddy and Cassandra, you kind of mentioned the same thing, and I really took that to heart, and I feel like that creates like an environment of intimacy and safety, and like that you come home like beaten and bruised at the end of a hard day, and like sure. your family is your safe place.
Amen.
And so we don't get that perfect all the time, but we want our home to be a place that's like welcoming and loving for anybody who comes into it.
Yeah, that's good.
I think that 7-day challenge also really works.
Hey, explain. There's a lot of people don't know what that 7-day challenge was.
Our family is now 3 because of it.
Ah, there you go. Pastor Kyle, a few years ago.
It's a fact.
Yeah.
The timing is
yeah.
perfect.
Yeah, amen. I'm just glad somebody listened to the message. Glory to God. A couple years ago, we did a part of our series on intimacy, 7-day sex challenge for all the married couples, and we did get some babies out of that. Glory to God. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And the Reynolds are examples. Go ahead, babe.
Kind of to echo what Heather said, that is actually when Kyle and I went through premarital counseling, and our pastor told us specific questions he wanted us to ask our parents, things that they had learned. And one of the things that my dad said to me was that as his wife, that he always loved that my mom was a soft place to land when he came home from a hard day,
yeah.
that she welcomed him with open arms, with kindness in her eyes, with love in her heart. And so that is something that I always have remembered and always challenge myself with, because I have hard days too. I'm not saying I'm perfect, but on those days where I realize that maybe I have maybe look very frustrated when he walks in the door, we'll say that, with the kids. I try and remember that what my dad said, that I would be a soft place for him to land, not all of the things that are wrong when he walks in the door, but
that's
good. It would just be a place where he can come and feel peace and comfort and rest.
And you are, babe. She is. That's awesome.
I'll say one thing,
yeah.
Kyle. We have made a choice that we're going to have intimacy once a week. That's just a choice we mm-hmm. made. So we have a date night. And if something comes up that blocks it, then we immediately switch it. So that we are, you know, and then you got to, you know, just like when you're dating, if you were going to go out on a date, you don't just slob around, you know. You get ready, you know. And so we make it dating.
Yeah, that's good.
Every week.
And real quickly, I heard this week on Stephen Furtick, and because they're doing a marriage thing on the TV. It's a rerun, I'm sure.
Yeah. I'm glad they're in the spirit down there.
I am too. They're following your lead. That's awesome, PK. Come on. Yeah, Elevate City. So this is really good, ladies. I think this is awesome. And men, because you can, you know, woot your wife for this too. But he said his wife is the CEO of their home, and it got my attention. I'm like, what are you saying, Pastor Furtick? Hello. And he said she's the chief encouraging officer.
Oh, man, that's good.
You know I love encouragement, Miss Bethany.
Yeah, that's
come
so
on,
good.
Girls, we can do this.
Yeah, that's
and
good.
And the men do notice,
amen.
So
that's
put
good.
That out.
Excellent. We only have a couple minutes, so I want to do a couple last questions here. And I do want to just say this again. You know, if you missed the previous week's messages, please make sure you do that. I read a stat, and I shared this, I think, a year ago. The average couple in America, married couple, listen to this, guys, only spends 4 minutes a day in conversation. 4 minutes. And we were talking about that this week. I thought, well, no wonder. No wonder we're messed up. No wonder we have marriages that are falling short. And so we've got to be intentional. I hope you're hearing a lot of that. A lot of what you're hearing from these couples today is just that, the conversations, the intentionality. So I think it's so important. I want to get to these last two questions with a couple minutes we have left, so we just have to be very mindful of time here, guys. But this is an important one, I believe, here today, too. Is it possible to restore marriage after multiple affairs?
I believe that God said that we can do all things through Christ that strengthens him. or strengthens us. Mm-hmm. So greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. The world would tell you that you need to give up on your marriage because there have been some violations. Mm. But God said that he can heal. He's in the healing business.
Yes, he is. Amen, amen.
So, yes, your relationship can survive multiple affairs if both partners are willing to work. Yeah. I always say, find, again, as we've been saying up here, find a couple to mentor you through this time. Find your pastor. Find someone that's going to be your support group that can help you through that. And in the end, I know that you will win. I know it looks like it's something that cannot be survived, but it can. And if there's any healing or any unforgiveness that you need, that you have, you need to get rid of that because it will hinder the progress of a successful marriage after it has had the violation of affair. But God can heal anything.
Amen.
He can make anything new. He can restore anything. He can redeem anything.
Amen. Excellent, excellent. All right, let me give a final question. I think it was great. And it's just simply this. I think this is a really good one, especially as marriages continue to evolve and grow. They asked, is it healthy for love languages to change throughout the length of your relationship and marriage? Come on. Y'all been doing good.
Definitely.
There we go.
I mean, we've only been married 4 years. And I would say, especially after having a kid, I don't know, I would rather do the dishes than probably give her a back rub or something. But we definitely do both. Love languages can change, certainly.
Yeah, yeah.
Over the course of our marriage, I was more into sports and watching sports. And now one of our things is to watch sports and watch certain TV shows together. She watches more sports and basketball and tennis and stuff than I do now. And so our relationship has evolved, and certain things that we liked at the beginning are different for both of us, but that's okay, and that's just because, you know, our relationship evolves and we change over time.
Yeah, that's good. You want anything?
I think it's not even necessarily a question of healthy. I just think it's normal. I think it's very normal that love languages change. Just as much as you're growing and changing in your relationship with each other, so is the individual person. And so that's not a bad thing. I think it's a very normal thing.
Excellent. We were actually in a small group with Buddy and Cassandra right before. I was super pregnant in that group. So right before we had Jack. And I remember them saying, like, you need to ask your spouse for what you need. Especially women, I think that we assume that men have the same radar that we do and that they can, like, read between the lines and figure out what we're thinking.
All the men.
And I know I made that assumption at first. And so just hearing that was so freeing, that there's nothing wrong with just asking your spouse for what you need and telling them, like, hey, this love language isn't my thing anymore. Like, I actually would really appreciate this instead.
That's good.
I think it's good communication. So.
Excellent. All right, guys. Well, if you would, just bow your heads. We're just going to pray. And as we conclude this series here today, man, we just wanted to take time and just pray over you. And then if you don't know Christ, we're going to give you an opportunity here today to know him as well. But, man, we love you guys. Actually, before you put your head down, I'm sorry. Look back up at me real quick. Sorry. Simon Says. No, I'm just kidding. But I just want you to know there's help for your marriage. There's hope for your marriage. If you're single, you desire, I'm just telling you, God knows exactly what he's doing with you. I promise you, he has everything under control. And here's the other thing I want to make a promise to you about, that these guys behind me, and there's plenty of others, trust me, that if you need us, we're here. We're committed to you. And so no matter where you're at in the journey, no matter where you find yourself, don't do this thing alone. Don't do your marriage by yourself. Don't do life alone. We talk so much about that, and you hear these guys talk about several times in the midst of what they said. Their encouragement was, man, don't be afraid to talk. Well, small groups is a huge reason why I believe our church is healthy and it's growing, because this is conversations that are happening through the week, not just on Sunday. Amen, everybody. Let's pray. All right, bow your head if you would. Father, we just love you and we just honor you today. I just thank you for the privilege it is of being a part of the body of Christ. Lord, of being a part of a local church that believes, God, in relationships and marriages and seeing them strengthen, God, in the context of everything that you designed marriage to be for, God, that we want health. God, for our wife, our husband, God, our love for one another. God, that when you placed man and woman together, you knew exactly what you were doing. And so, Father, we just honor who you are. And we honor, God, the institution of marriage and honoring and loving our spouse enough, God, to continue to grow, to not just stunt our growth, but, God, to focus on the areas in which we need to grow. Father, our relationship, our communication, our intimacy, our kids, Lord, in Jesus' name. And so, Father, we just honor you, and I speak your blessing. I declare, Satan, you have no voice and no right in any of our homes and any of our lives. In the name of Jesus today.
We just speak life over every marriage throughout this room, Lord, that there would be strength in marriages, that there would be even couples that just find other couples that they can do life with, that they can have fun with. Lord, we just speak life over each and every marriage, Lord. For those that are yet to be married, God, that you would line up the right person for them. Yes, you already know, you've already predestined, you see the future before we can even imagine it. So, Lord, just prepare their hearts, God. Yeah. And if you are fine being single, just help them to just have fun in this season, that they would enjoy singleness, enjoy the gift that that is.
Thank you, Lord.
And just the life that they can live through that. Help us all to just draw closer to you, God. Make you first and foremost the priority in our lives, Lord, that we would seek after you wholeheartedly and that you would just continue to show us more and more about ourselves, that you want to just change and morph as we grow in years and in marriage, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name.
And if you would just continue to keep your head bowed and eyes closed. If you're here this morning and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, we just want to give you the opportunity. We want to pray together with you in just a moment. But if that's you, in just a moment, I'm just going to ask you just to slip up your hand where you're at, just with boldness, and say, man, I want to commit my life to Christ. Or maybe you've just drifted away from God. Maybe you just haven't been serving him with your whole heart, and you say, man, I feel like I need to recommit today, and I want to come back to God. I just want you to know, man, he loves you, and he has never stopped loving you. He is here today. He is not mad at you. He's madly in love with you, and I want you to know he went to that cross for you. And so this morning, if you want to give your life to Christ, or if you want to just begin a fresh start, on the count of three, just want you to slip your hand up. Come on, with boldness today, forget about who's around you, and just declare, God, you're going to be Lord of my life. On the count of three, one, two, three, all of this place. Yeah, gotcha. Praise God. Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. All right, and I'm going to lead us in a prayer and just say this from everything within you. And just say, Jesus, thank you for giving your life for me. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me of my past. Today is a new day for me. Change me. Deliver me. Set me free. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's give God a great big hand. Come on.